The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Received over $52 million. In 2001, that increased to $98 million. And then in 2005, you took home $89 million. In 2006, you made a huge stock sale, and you received over $100 million in that year alone. That's almost half a billion dollars. And that's difficult to comprehend for a lot of people. Your company is now bankrupt. Our economy is in a state of crisis. But you get to keep $480 million. I have a very basic question for you. Is this fair?
I would say to you the 500 number is not accurate. I would say to you that although it's still a large number, I think for the years that you're talking about here, I believe my cash compensation was close to $60 million, which you have indicated here. And I believe the amount that I took out of the company over and above that was, I believe, a little bit less than $250 million.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday? Got to work like a slave all day. Here come Tuesday, oh, Tuesday. I'm so tired, got no time to play.
It is the Savage Nation. Today was one of the most astonishing days in my radio career. I sat glued to the television watching on C-SPAN the hearings, the grilling of former Lehman Brothers CEO, who earned, according to a chart brought out by Congress, as much as $480 million between the years 2000 and 2007, while the company went bankrupt. I opened the show by playing music from the Titanic as the ship was going down. For comic effect, it's not so funny when you realize that we're living in an age that makes the age of the robber baron look as though they were social workers. Now, I grew up reading about the robber barons of a certain time in American history, and I knew their names. I was steeped in their behavior. But by what I see going on today with the crooks in the government and the crooks on Wall Street, the robber barons of yesteryear were the equivalent of social workers today. What I wanted to see today, and my headline on michaelsavage.com, is Lehman CEO made almost $500 million before bankruptcy. Here's what I wanted to see today. I wanted to see one honest congressman who was not bought and sold like a cheap prostitute, not pretend to be filled with outrage, not to pretend to be filled with righteous indignation, but to actually say, I am demanding here and now that you take $500 million of your own assets and return them to the little old ladies in Peoria who lost their life savings. You are saying, Mr. Fuld, that you don't sleep at night? Did anyone hear that soundbite? Play that soundbite right now of the crocodile tears being shed by Richard Fuld, former CEO of Lehman Brothers. Listen to the audacity of this man, clip one.
And again, not that anybody on this committee cares about this, but I wake up every single night thinking, what could I have done differently? And it's been going on. What could I have done differently? In certain conversations, what could I have said? What should I have done? And I have searched myself every single night. And I come back to, at the time, and that's why I said this in the beginning, the time I made those decisions, I made those decisions with the information that I had. Having said all that, I can look right at you and say, this is a pain. that will stay with me for the rest of my life.
In other words, he's the victim. He's the victim. He made $480 million, according to the government, $484.8 million in the years leading up to the collapse of Lehman Brothers. But he said this is a pain that he will feel for the rest of his life. Now, if I were a congressman, which I have no desire to be, I would have stopped him right there and I would have said quite sarcastically, you know, Mr. Fold, I feel your pain and I have a way for you to lessen that burden. I'm going to ask you here and now if you'll say to the American people that in an attempt to set things straight, in an attempt to make the little old ladies who don't sleep ever, ever, they never get a good night's sleep, it's not just a pain for them, it's a heart attack that you've given them because they lost their life savings in the Lehman Brothers stock. Would you return the $480 million that you made to the stockholders of your company, which fundamentally you busted out like a sporting goods store in The Sopranos? Now, that's what I would have said if I were a congressman. But the reason that you didn't hear that today is that although there was a lot of sound and fury, and I thought that Representative Henry Waxman, who I normally detest, did a fabulous job. He didn't go far enough. Dennis Kucinich, who I normally ridicule and detest, did a fairly good job but did nothing. And that is because if you study the money that was spread around by these Wall Street types, you will find out that Lehman Brothers spread some of that money around to the very people who were questioning him today. Never before, ladies and gentlemen, in American history has so much been stolen by so few and has there been no consequences. On Friday, if you remember, there was a $1 trillion bailout forced down our throats. Dianne Feinstein had the audacity to say that 85,000 emails opposed it out of 91,000 she received, but she said, we are too stupid to understand what the bailout is. Wasn't too stupid. I wasn't too stupid. I knew it wasn't my bailout. I knew it wouldn't bail you out. I knew it was to bail out Dianne Feinstein's friends on Wall Street. I knew it was to bail out Henry Waxman's friends on Wall Street. I knew it was to bail out every crook in Congress. I knew it wouldn't bail us out. I knew it was too little too late. We were told that the bailout would save us. They told us that without it, there'd be a financial meltdown. Now it's Monday. Stock market down over 350 points. It had been down as high as 800 points. The bailout has done nothing. The American people are on the hook for $1 trillion, and nobody has gone to jail for it. $1 trillion. Do you understand what this means? Do you have any idea what this means, what the bailout is? This is the largest and most brazen thievery in the history of the world. What Paulson and Bush and company did was take rotten assets off the balance sheets of global banks and sell them to us, the U.S. taxpayer. They raised our national debt by another 12%. It is our disgrace that we have permitted a man like George Bush to be in power this long. And I was the first to say to you, from 9/11 to 9/15, that's what he gave us. It started with Osama bin Laden, and it ended with Wall Street's bailout. This man has been the worst and most dangerous president in American history. But you say, well, it's too late to do anything. You are wrong. It's just the right time to do something. And I say, in order to make sure a snake doesn't strike you again, you got to cut off the snake's head. I say Henry Paulson should be arrested immediately. It's not enough for me that the Lehman CEO was called in and we learned he made almost $500 million and he'll pay nothing back because he said he was only following the law. You know, as I watched this guy, the Lehman CEO, talk today, I was struck by a number of things. The most pronouncedly striking thing about this guy from Lehman Brothers was his posture, his arrogant head in the air, his looking down with derision at these peons called congressmen who were questioning a man who made so much money. I went to school with kids like this, or I met them in my life. They always thought they were better than everybody. In fact, they were better than everybody in one regard, and that was in BSing their way out of any problem. These were not the type of kids who would get into a schoolyard scuffle. They understood that they could lose that one. These are the people who thought that they could always talk their way out of a problem. And there I saw Lehman CEO Richard Fuld sitting up there today, deriding Congress, looking down upon them as though he were a hawk on a mountain looking down at a bunch of sheep. Well, as an American taxpayer, I was offended. I was offended at what had been done to me and to my country. That massive profits on a scale never before seen, and executive bonuses that were given out. He gave out over $5 billion in bonuses, I understand, in the last year alone. $5 billion as the ship was going down. And don't you see these wonderful capitalists now love the socialization of our losses? They didn't bail you out. They didn't bail you out. They bailed themselves out. Didn't you understand that, schmuck? I was the only one in the media who told you that. Most of the other frauds, like the leprechaun, emphasis on the C-O-N, the leprechaun told you the bailout was good for you because he wraps himself in the flag. At the same time, he wraps conservative talk radio, which he says is right-wing radio. No, we're the conservatives. He's the sellout. And it's time for me to tell you I am sick and tired of the frauds in the radio business who have led you astray. But they're not our problem. They're minnows in a sea filled with whales. Do you know that on September 29th, just before the House and Senate passed bailout legislation, one brave congressman, Representative Brad Sherman, Democrat, California, got up there and was pleading with the House to reject Paulson's and Bernanke's demands. And at the time, Representative Brad Sherman, Democrat, California, presented a signed petition of approximately 400 economists, including three Nobel laureates, that stated in part, "We ask Congress not to rush, to hold appropriate hearings, and to carefully consider the right course of action." And do you know that the switchboards were so overwhelmed by your so-called representative that they closed down the congressional email receiving end? They closed down the switchboards so that they can do what they wanted to do to us. Do you know that 99% of the people said no on the bailout legislation? And yet the thieves called senators, the crooks called congressmen, passed this Wall Street bailout anyway. Why did they do that? When did they pass the bailout legislation and who benefited from it? Ladies and gentlemen, it has been said that we learn from history that we do not learn from history. That was German philosopher George Hegel who wrote, "We learn from history that we do not learn from history." And if it's anything I learned today, it's that crooks can get up there and brazenly lie before the American people and Congress. Crooks on a scale that make the so-called mafia look like petty gamblers on the street. And yet they would rake you over the coals if you withheld $500 from your tax return. They'd rake you over the coals if you took library books and kept them an extra 30 days. They'll take your kid and put him in jail for 30 days if he skateboards on a sidewalk. They'll take a kid selling crack and put him away for 10 years minimum because he made $700 selling crack. And yet we're sitting here watching the entire world come down underneath our feet. Why? The answer is the CEO thieves own Congress. But let me tell you something. This thief from NYU, Richard Fuld, this thief in my opinion, you know who he looked like to me? It looked like I was watching the Nuremberg trials. It's as though I watched Hermann Göring sitting at the Nuremberg trials and saying he was not aware that 6 million Jews had been gassed in the concentration camps. And then when the Nuremberg lawyers presented Göring with documents showing that he, Göring, had signed the order to gas the Jews, he looks at the documents and he says, "I don't recognize these documents. I don't know whose they are." Then the Nuremberg lawyers say, "But they were given to us by your attorney." And he continues to look at the documents and says, "I don't recognize these documents. I don't know whose they are." That's what happened on a financial level before your eyes today in Congress. These CEO thieves must be held accountable. Their assets must be seized. Their mansions must be taken and sold. Their stock portfolios must be liquidated, and their retirement accounts and that of their grandmother, grandfather, and godfather must be cashed out from here to Switzerland, until every last penny they stole from the American people is given back to the stockholders. This is the Savage Nation. I approve of my monologue. I'll be right back.
Savage.
You have a $14 million oceanfront home in Florida. You have a summer vacation home in Sun Valley, Idaho. Yet you and your wife have an art collection filled with million-dollar paintings. Your former president, Joe Gregory, used to travel to work in his own private helicopter. I guess people wonder, if you made all this money by taking risks with other people's money, You could have done other things. You had high leverage. You didn't have to pay out these millions of dollars in dividends and bonuses. You could have saved some of these funds for lean times, but you didn't. Do you think it's fair? And do you have any recommendations on fundamental reforms that would bring a new approach to executive compensation? Because it seems that the system worked for you, but it didn't seem to work for the rest of the country and the taxpayers who now have to pay up to $700 billion to bail out our economy.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to a Soviet-era show trial. The fix is in. No one's going to pay a red cent except you. We got screwed by both Democrats and Republicans. I have told you over and over again on the Savage Nation for well over 10 years that when Democrats and Republicans get along, there's one thing you can take to the bank, and that's that we, the taxpayer, are being screwed. You heard Waxman create a lot of sound and fury by listing the properties that Fuld, the former CEO of Lehman Brothers, owns. But he only asked a question at the end. He made a statement, rather, that was very telling. He said, is there anything to be done to make sure this doesn't happen again? It's over. It's over. We wanted to see this man let out by federal marshals. We wanted to see one congressman who was not bought and sold like a prostitute on the cheapest street in America say, we believe you've committed fraud. We have evidence you lied to the public. You violated the rules of Wall Street. Look, I know the fundamental rules of Wall Street. If you're the CEO of a public company, there's one rule you can't violate. You cannot write memos internally that say one thing and then get up publicly and say another. You cannot get up and say to the public, everything is well, when you just gave a speech internally at a conference call and I listened to them. I listened to conference calls, incidentally. I told you before, don't underestimate Michael Savage. I've listened to CEO conference calls. They're very careful in what they say. If they say something on a conference call to investors and then they say something else to the public and yet you find documents internal that say something else, they go to jail. Do you know if the same rules that were applied to the gentleman at WorldCom, at the cable company, as an elderly gentleman who built up a life fortune, who was in jail and everything was seized from him, if the same rules that had applied before Bush came to power were applied here, this man would be in an orange jumpsuit saying Savage. Hail Mary.
So he went to the gym after the Lehman was announced as going on there. He was on the treadmill with a heart monitor on. Someone was in the corner pumping iron. He just walked over and he knocked him out cold. And frankly, having watched this, I'd have done the same too.
That is a reporter for CNBC reporting that this arrogant SOB, former Lehman Brothers CEO Richard Fuld, was knocked out by another executive the day he announced the firm was going under. I cannot confirm or deny that, but the American people want more than just posturing by Congress. We want to know why those assets are not going to be turned back to the people. If the man owns all of that, and can you imagine what the other guys own? And by the way, you know, when the company went under, they sold off their assets at a fire sale price. Do you understand what I just said to you? The company, of course, we know went bankrupt. That we know. But after the company was declared bankrupt, our government, meaning Hank Paulson, good old Hank Paulson, former CEO of a competitive bank, Goldman Sachs, forced Lehman Brothers to sell off their assets, including their valuable real estate, for a song. And we know that Mr. Fuld, blamed everybody. He pointed his finger at everybody. He claimed naked short selling did it. He claimed that everybody did it but him. But the fact of the matter is, in 2007, Mr. Fuld referred to his company as strong. He said nobody predicted the impending crisis. He said no one realized the extent and magnitude of these problems. But some members of the committee took issue with Fuld for his salary and bonuses. Fuld received a $22 million bonus in March of 2008. Waxman said that Fuld will walk away a very wealthy man. He detailed what he said was $480 million in compensation since 2000. He pointed out that Fuld owns a $14 million oceanfront home in Florida, an extensive art collection, another home in Sun Valley, Idaho. That's, of course, what they know he owns. How about what his wife owns? I'd like to see what the daughter owns. I'd like to see what the son-in-law owns. I'd like to see what his 90-year-old mother owns. I'd like to see what his 99-year-old father owns, so to speak. What do you think, these people are stupid? How do you think they got where they are, by being stupid? They're 500 times smarter than Congress, all of them put together, and they know it. But, and here's the but, if you commit a crime, you do the time. It doesn't matter how smart you are. There have been criminal masterminds before. I've seen criminal masterminds fall like a house of cards for having committed one little indiscretion that they nail them on. The reason you're not going to see these guys pay a dime is because they already paid more than a dime to both sides of the aisle. That's the truth of the matter. Now, the FBI has begun an investigation of Lehman. But because Mr. Fuld's name does not end in a vowel, I doubt very much that we'll see any more sound and fury. If his name ended in a vowel and he spoke with an accent from somewhere of southern Europe, most particularly from a portion of the boot, I can guarantee you that we would have had a lot of demands for immediate arrest. But because his name doesn't end in a vowel, A-E-I-O-U, I doubt that Mr. Fuld will so much as have to shed another crocodile tear. 1-800-449-8255. What can you say that I have not already said? Now, there were some bright notes at the hearing today. As I say, I watched it for 2 hours and had to turn it off. I could not take my eyes off this. And it was because I was watching one of the, it was a drama for me. It was like watching a movie about the bank, the Vatican Bank, with a guy found hanging from a bridge. This is a crime novel. It's the Justice Files. It's CSI all wrapped up in one. The problem is we don't have a real Elliot Ness investigating. We have pussycats pretending to be tigers. We didn't have one tiger in there who went for the throat. Instead, we had an arrogant, pompous man who stared down at them, as I said to you, like a predator on a mountain looking down at a bunch of sheep, I said before. I would have some other phrases that I could use, but I'm on radio. I'm not in a personal meeting somewhere. Why did not one representative say, Mr. Fuld, we understand that you are crying every night, you cry yourself to sleep, and that you'll live with this for the rest of your life, but are you aware of the fact that there are hundreds of thousands of women and men who don't sleep at all because you bankrupted them? And so we'd like to help you with your bad conscience, Mr. Fuld, and we're going to ask you if you'll be willing to turn over your assets back to the stockholders who are now the United States of America, the taxpayers. Mr. Fuld, can we get you on record, Mr. Fuld? Now, that would have been appropriate. That would have been a movie. But we don't have anyone in Congress. They're puppets. They're puppets. So the question is, where do we go now? Europe's plunging. The dollar is strong. Gold is through the ceiling. He made $500 million before the bankruptcy. The Dow has fallen below 10,000 for the first time since 2004. It's really a time that no one knows what's happening tomorrow. I speak to a lot of people about this. Well, not a lot of people. I speak to various people. And the biggest loser here is John McCain. They all agree with me. This man has shown himself to be a clueless old coot. The reason Obama is surging is not because Obama's a great choice. Obama's going to be a communist dictator, as sure as I'm sitting here. Oh, it won't be called a communist dictatorship. But make no mistake about it. We will have the equivalent of communism in the United States of America when Obama wins. And that is because John McCain is a moron. I heard John McCain today. I wanted to pick up an ashtray and throw it through the television set. The problem is I paid a lot for the flat screen and I wouldn't throw the ashtray through the television set. There's a little bit of Jack Benny in me. I control my emotions. But the fact of the matter is, there was John McCain attacking Obama, saying, my competitor, my opponent did this. My opponent talked to a radical William Ayers in 1914. And in 1891, Obama's ancestors talked to somebody. What, is he kidding me? Is he crazy? Is he that out of touch with reality, this old coot? He should have gotten up and said, here's what needs to be done. The market is collapsing, and I, John McCain, as leader, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. When I become president, the first thing I'm going to do is seek restitution from all those who may have profited while their companies collapsed. And you can take that to the bank. I'm John McCain. His numbers would have gone up 25 points. But the bartenders who work for John McCain, who will not go on the Michael Savage show, they won't let him on this show. they won't let him on Rush Limbaugh's show. I can name five shows that John McCain has avoided. The very people he needs to reach in order to get elected, he will not talk to. And why won't he talk to us? Because he doesn't have answers for us. And that's the truth of the matter. That's the sad truth of the matter. I predict an Obama landslide, all because of the financial meltdown and John McCain's ineptitude. This is the Savage Nation. If you care to debate me or agree with me or whatever you want to do, you can call me at another time. You can't get through to the show today. Impossible. The red lights are blinking. 20 lights, red, hot red, red alert. Red alert. All lights are red alert on the Savage Nation. The country's in a panic. They all say to me the same thing. How did we get to the point where we have two such sad sacks as candidates? A green candidate called Obama, who no doubt has communist leanings, and an old coot who's a bag man for the very people who should be in jail, the Wall Street tycoons. What do you think, McCain is above this? Are you kidding me? I remember the Keating Five, and I'm not going to forget it just for the sake of the show. And I don't care how many times you tell me, oh, hush, hush, my darling. Hush, hush, my darling, you're going to get Obama elected. You know what? No, McCain is going to get Obama elected by being an inept old coot. This is it, ladies and gentlemen. Get ready for the communist rush through America. Everything you feared your entire life is about to happen. And you know who I blame? It's not even John McCain. It's the Bush machine. The Bush machine destroyed the bench in the Republican Party. The Bush machine took apart the entire conservative movement, person by person, institution by institution, and they let only old hacks like John McCain rise to the top. Even a moderate Republican like Mitt Romney, a man who made a fortune on his own, would have been a choice that could have beat the communist Obama. And you have to ask yourself, why is it that Romney was thrown overboard? How did that happen? Who did it to him? And why is it that the Republican Party refused to permit Mitt Romney to run against Obama? Why instead did they pick this old hack? I'll make another prediction. I'll make a prediction which is very dangerous to make, because if you're wrong, you're wrong. If you're right, you're right. And I don't make predictions. I'm going to make two predictions right now on this show. Number one, Obama wins by a landslide because of John McCain's ineptitude and his refusal to meet his own base. Number two, John McCain does not even get reelected to his own Senate seat in Arizona. John McCain disappears for good because of his inept campaign. I'm Michael Savage, and I stick by those words. The website is michaelsavage.com. I direct you to it for a number of reasons, not the least of which is that the stories are up there that I'm talking about, and I want you to see them. Lehman CEO made $500 million before bankruptcy. That's over a period of time. You know about that. CNBC confirms Lehman CEO punched and knocked out in the gym. Transgender Georgia official wins legal battle. Homosexual should carry warning tattoo, says a chaplain in London. Ooh, we won't touch that one. We won't go near that one. That's the untouchable story that you can't go near. There are other stories that give us absolutely no hope whatsoever. Absolutely no hope whatsoever. There's no hope on this on the horizon. None. None whatsoever. It is now 44 minutes after the hour. I'm going to play another soundbite for you, because I saw a young man from upstate New York who actually nailed Richard Fuld to a cross, so to speak, just metaphorically speaking, where he says certain things to him which fundamentally are actionable so far as I can tell. I don't think we have the soundbite. I'm looking. We have Waxman, Fuld, Kucinich. Do we have the fellow from New York? Yeah, here it is. Clip three. Let's hear it.
I don't see how you could say that. Your internal documents said that conditions are clearly not sustainable and that you did not move earlier fast enough. But you told the public Lehman had never been in a stronger position. How do you reconcile your public statements with the company's internal assessments?
Was this my document?
These are documents that your attorneys provided the committee.
Is this my document? Is this a presentation that I gave?
These are documents internally that went past your desk in the past 6 months.
This document does not look familiar to me. And if it was an internal document, it was... I really can't speak to that because this document is not familiar to me.
I have seen audacious men in my life perform before the public. I've seen every kind of con man. I've seen every kind of actor. I've seen every kind of criminal. I have never seen anything on this order since the Nuremberg trials. He is a young congressman, Representative Brian Higgins, Democrat, New York, doing a fine job. By the way, much better than the Republicans did, I'm sad to tell you. And Representative Brian Higgins says, you have an internal document. Your public statement says this. And Fuld, the former CEO of Lehman Brothers, speaking before Congress on the downfall of his company, says, is that my document? I have no memory of that specific internal document. Higgins says, well, this came from your own lawyer. He says, I'm not familiar with the document. I don't know whose document that is. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the time for the marshals to enter with handcuffs. Agree or disagree. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I believe that if you issue a loan at origination where the loan value exceeds the property value, and that you then issue securities based upon that loan, and you don't disclose that gap that existed at loan origination, that you are, in fact, I believe, stealing.
I do not believe that any of the original mortgage securitizers knowingly, at the point of origination, would have taken a mortgage whose value was in excess of the value of the home. I find that very difficult. If it did occur, I would say it was lack of understanding of what the real value was. But I don't think I can't talk for the world in general, clearly.
Shame on you, Fuld. Shame on your ancestors. Shame on your wife. Shame on your children. Shame on you unto five generations, Fuld. You think that the people don't know what you are, what kind of creature from the Black Lagoon you are? You think you got away with it today, don't you? You're probably sitting home tonight with your wife or whoever, and you're saying, how did I do? And they're saying, oh, Richard, you were brilliant. Oh, Richard, Daddy, you were wonderful. Daddy, don't worry, those mean people. Oh, Daddy this, Daddy that. If it was up to me, your children would be wearing sackcloth for what you did to this country. If it was up to me. But it isn't up to me. I'm only a right-wing talk show host. I'm reviled by your friends. I'm not a good liberal, one of the people you've smeared off all your life by paying for things that don't exist. I'm not one of the good liberals who kill hawks on Fifth Avenue. But forget me and you, Fuld. I don't know you, but I know your type. I've seen your type my whole life, and you made me sick. You sneered at everybody since you were a child. You sneered at everybody from the time you entered first grade. You were told you were better than everybody. And your bearing today before Congress indicated a man with an arrogance unlike any gangster chieftain I have ever seen. How dare you think you're better than everybody, Fuld? You're not better. You're worse than the lowest criminal in the minds of most Americans. And I can guarantee you liberal and conservative alike feels that. If they had actually seen you at work today and your face, they would be agreeing with me. But forget my personal distaste for you and your type, Mr. Fuld. Let's talk about the fact that in the 1980s, there were small-time operators who would buy a house here or there in America. I'm going to pick a price. Let us say they'd buy a house for $100,000. And they would work with bankers, loan officers and bankers, or mortgage brokers more specifically, who would value the house at $125,000 and get them a mortgage for 25% more than the value of the house. And they would take the money out and then dump the property or whatever. Meanwhile, they were living fundamentally on thievery. Many of them went to prison. Many mortgage brokers, small fry, not big guys like you, not NYU guys like you, not Boca Raton, no. Little fish. You see, it's been said a long time ago that if you steal a little, you get caught, you go to jail. But if you steal a lot, you wind up running the country. And that's what the American people know. They know that men like you are no different than the politicians who are shielding you from the people themselves. But let's get back to my little example. So little mortgage brokers working with little contractors or little buyers in the 80s did this on a regular basis. They'd buy houses, overinflate their value, get a mortgage for more than it was worth, suck the money out of it and move on, and they did this over and over again. When they got caught, usually they went to jail. This is exactly what went on Wall Street. The mortgage brokers were valuing the house at 110, 125%, if not more, of their actual values. And then these gangsters on Wall Street created fiduciary instruments based upon those mortgages that never existed before George Bush came to power. They invented fiduciary instruments, which they started to trade. And remember why? Every time a broker sells, every time a broker buys, whether you win or lose, they make money. So the more paper they could churn, the more fake fiduciary instruments they came up with, the more money they made on the trades. That's called absolute and outright fraud. It is punishable to the full extent of the law. The only question is, will anyone be punished? Will any one of these gangsters lose so much as $100 and or go to prison? Again, I want to remind you, not too long ago before the Bush years, the whole country is now going to be dated with a certain date, BB, before Bush, when it was a different country. We thought Clinton was Caligula. Little did we know that after Caligula came a new form of emperor, an emperor that is so far beyond what Caligula did to us that it's incomprehensible. But I warned you, it's not over yet. I told this to you 3 months ago. I said what Bush has done to bankrupt this country spiritually, socially, he hasn't even begun to damage this. You haven't seen, remember I said this to you 3 months ago? I said you haven't seen the end of this. You've only seen the beginning. I told you that. I warned you that. Bush has a long term in office yet. And if you think this is the end of what Bush has done to this country, you are mistaken. And the reason I'm raising the specter of George Bush is because the buck stops there. He did it to us. In 2004, he pulled off all the stops in Wall Street on the percentage difference between what they could buy and what they could sell. In other words, they went up to a 30 times issue from 4 times. I told you that the collapse of 1929 occurred primarily because people were able to buy on margin. And the margin buying got so bad that the house of cards collapsed. Same thing here. Margin buying, margin selling, magnified a thousandfold with fiduciary instruments that did not exist prior to George Bush. BB, before Bush there was an America.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
You have a $14 million oceanfront home in Florida. You have a summer vacation home in Sun Valley, Idaho. Yet you and your wife have an art collection filled with million-dollar paintings. Your former president, Joe Gregory, used to travel to work in his own private helicopter. I guess people wonder, if you made all this money by taking risks with other people's money, you could have done other things. You had high leverage. You didn't have to pay out these millions of dollars in dividends and bonuses. You could have saved some of these funds for lean times, but you didn't. Do you think it's fair? And do you have any recommendations on fundamental reforms that would bring a new approach to executive compensation? Because it seems that the system worked for you, but it didn't seem to work for the rest of the country, and the taxpayers who now have to pay up to $700 billion to bail out our economy.
And again, not that anybody on this committee cares about this, but I wake up every single night thinking, what could I have done differently? And it's been going on. What could I have done differently? In certain conversations, what could I have said? What should I have done? And I have searched myself every single night. And I come back to, at the time, and that's why I said this in the beginning, the time I made those decisions with the information that I had. Having said all that, I can look right at you and say, this is a pain that will stay with me for the rest of my life.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday? Got to work, like a slave all day. Here come Tuesday, oh, Tuesday.
This is a pain that will stay with me for the rest of my life in my $14 million Florida house, and the pain is so bad, I will then go to Colorado to deal with the pain in my summer house in Colorado next to Dianne Feinstein. And when the pain gets too bad, I'll go back to my Fifth Avenue apartment. I live in a $29 million condominium co-op, and the pain is terrible, but I have a way to deal with it in those places that I couldn't deal with in a jail cell. And that's why I need the art collection. I can't give any of it back because the art collection also takes away some of the pain. And after all, a man is entitled to a little something in his later years. Now, if there was a congressman, really, who had any understanding of the American people's wrath right now, he would have said, you know, Mr. Fuld, I realize that you have a pain that you'll feel for the rest of your life, so I'll tell you what we're going to do for you. We're going to help lessen that pain for you. We're going to ask you right here on the record, are you willing to turn back some of the $484 million that you took out of Lehman Brothers over the years that you were there, last few years you were there? Because if you listen carefully, Waxman breaks down Fuld's finances, and he says, well, you took about $484 million, and Fuld says, no, it was more like $250 million that I took out of the company. I heard that. I almost fell out of my chair. He says himself that I took out of the company. Took out of the company? It sounds like criminal behavior to me. And I say, well, did he really commit any crime here? Now, I know many of you are going to defend Mr. Fuld and others like him. Tomorrow they're going to do the insurance company swindlers. They're going to get them up there. Three generations of leadership of the insurance company, AIG, are going to be up there before Congress. Oh, they're rehearsing tonight. Well, their pain is so severe, they're rehearsing probably in Le Cirque in Manhattan. You know, they need to water it down with a $12,000 bottle of wine. And a $5,000 dinner of an endangered species, laughing all the way to the congressional hearing. All the smart boys from Columbia and Harvard, NYU. All the smart boys whose grandfathers fled the oppression of Europe. That's what they did with their genius. That's what they did with their law degrees. That's what they did with their MBAs. Look what they did. They robbed America blind. And you don't like me, huh? You don't like what I'm saying to you, do you? Well, you can take it and you can shove it up you know what. You can take what you think of me and you can shove it up you know where the sun don't shine, as they say. I'm as angry as the average American is. I'm angry that they didn't take this man out in a pair of handcuffs today. Now, you may say, did he commit a crime? Well, I'll let you decide. If a man is the chairman of a publicly held company, they can get away with an awful lot, but there's something they can't get away with, and that is something they say publicly that is different than what they say internally. So if during an internal meeting they say, uh-oh, things are looking bad, the mortgage market is not good, we're going to lose money, and then they get up and they give a conference call to investment banks, which I have listened in on, and they say things are coming up roses, they've never been better, the future looks bright, we're going to turn a profit, we're going to turn a corner, it went up, even though it looks like it's down, we see brightness, and you should invest more, and you can buy another 100 million option, you can switch, and you can. If they do that, they go to jail, directly to jail. There are men in jail right now. Remember the name Tyco, WorldCom, Adelphi, remember those names? How big they were a number of years ago? Well, the CEOs of those companies did less than what this guy did. Tyco in particular, the guy used some of the public money to pay for a wedding, if I remember correctly, in Sardinia. I think he went away for 10 years. We have a hero rotting in jail by the name of Duke Cunningham. A Congressman Duke Cunningham, a five-star ace from the Vietnam War. He's still one of my heroes. He's in jail for pilfering a couple of million dollars in benefits that some smart Alex from NYU talked him into taking. Now, I'm not excusing what he did. He was stupid. He was stupid for doing what he did. An old Rolls Royce that was probably worth $20,000 they gave him. A broken down yacht. He sold a house and made probably $1 million more than it was worth. And for that, Duke Cunningham was given 8.5 years by a Clinton attorney. That's right, a Clinton attorney. One of the attorneys that Clinton appointed gave this poor guy 8.5 years. I'm bringing up Duke Cunningham now because most of you don't even know who I'm talking about. He's rotting away in jail, one of our war heroes. And here's a guy who made $480 million while the company went under. Like the Titanic, as it was going down, they didn't get on the poop deck and listen to the music. Oh, no, the band didn't play on for them. The band played on for the stockholders, who are you. You inherited the junk. They got off on a speedboat. They had a speedboat come next to the Titanic after they rammed it into the iceberg, and they all sped away. They sped away, and they're still speeding away. What hope do we have when we have a country that is so corrupt that men can steal this kind of money and get away with it, virtually get away with it? So there it is. I have no more to say. Ladies and gentlemen, let me put it this way. I rest my case. I have made the case that there should have been a house arrest today of Richard Fuld, former CEO of Lehman Brothers. Now, you don't understand this, but the House Oversight Committee actually has the powers of house arrest in their powers. You don't understand that. Federal law can allow the executive to punish disobedience to Congress. I don't know if you understand that. But it goes way back in our Constitution. They could have arrested him. They could have arrested him right on the spot. One of them could have dropped the gavel and said, as one of them did, Representative Turner said, that anyone who lends money for more than the house is worth is stealing. And for that, I am going to bring you under house arrest, Mr. Fuld. Please stand up, U.S. Marshals. Please come in. Please take Mr. Fuld to the tombs and then move him over to Rikers Island, where when he next tells us that he has a pain that he will feel for the rest of his life, we'll know he's not lying for the first time in his adult life. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back. Savage.
Chairman, we had a compensation committee that spent a tremendous amount of time making sure that the interests of the executives and the employees were aligned with shareholders. My employees owned close to a 30%.
Let's stop right here. Here's Mr. Fuld trying to fold Congress, saying that, how'd you make that much money? How'd you make $484 million? So Fultz is at a compensation committee. Now, that sounds good, doesn't it, the compensation committee? So one of the congressmen asks him who appointed the compensation committee. And Fultz goes, and ha, and who, and and he says, I did, basically. You hear what's going on here? That's the oversight. And he smeared this one and that one. I give you this, I give you that. You're on the compensation committee. Here's what I want to make, schmuck. All right, take a walk. How much do you want to be on the compensation committee? Going. Twice, all right. You want $2 million? Going. How much do you want to be in the compensation committee? All right, schmuck, take a walk. I don't want to see you again. What are you kidding me? This was all as a result of the Republican deregulation. Now, I know that many of you want to blame Barney Frank. I know the whole story. I heard it already. I tell you a story walking. Barney Frank should be in handcuffs. Does that make you feel better? Barney Frank and the entire Democrat leadership should be in handcuffs along with Mr. Fuld, as far as I'm concerned. They're the one who forced these gangsters to give loans to unqualified minorities and illegal aliens. I told you that 6 months ago. I was the first one on radio to tell you that. I knew about greenlining and redlining. I talked about it before others even knew what I was talking about. Because I know more than anybody in talk radio. And I stand on that. I know more than anybody in talk radio right now about finances. And I know what caused this. And I know something else. I know that it's not Democrat or Republican. It's about corruption. It's about a corrupt system that is broken. That's what it's about. And I also made a prediction that McCain loses by a landslide because of his lack of leadership. And I stand by those words. I stand by them. That's not because I want the communist Obama to win. I heard McCain today. I thought I was looking at Mel Brooks in a comedy movie. Interestingly enough, and strangely enough, McCain is starting to look more and more like Mel Brooks. in a comedy movie. The longer this goes on, the more he looks like Mel Brooks. And it's not a laughing matter. Instead of getting up and saying the market fell 800 points today, of course it fell 360 by the end of the day, I am concerned, as the American people are, about the fact that the bailout has bailed no one out except the gangsters on Wall Street. And when I become president, I can assure you, we will seek the assets, no matter where they may be hidden, of any executive on Wall Street who may have profited while their company was falling apart. Bingo, the next day the poll numbers are up 10 points. Instead he gets up and says, my competitor, Obama did this, Obama did that. He talked to William Ayers in 1914 and 1917 before he was born. We know he was dreaming. His grandfather in Kenya dreamed that one day he would talk to a communist in Brooklyn. And I can tell you decidedly that in Africa, when they have dreams like this, it's as though it's reality. And therefore, Obama is as guilty as sure as I'm standing here. And I'm John McCain, and I approve of this nonsense. That's leadership to you. You must be kidding. I'll make a further prediction. If McCain doesn't turn this around, he gets fired by the people of Arizona. He doesn't even become a senator again. He disappears from the political landscape. Chicago, Kurt, you disagree?
Bush is hated as much now as he was in 2004, and he won 62 million votes to 59 million votes. I can't picture one of those 69.
Hold on. You can't picture it. Well, I can picture it. I can picture it, and I can catch it. Let me tell you something, my friend. You just brought up a non sequitur here. You're telling me we had a market collapse in 2000?
Yeah, we did. We had a market collapse in 2000. The market went.
So we did it equal to what's going on right now? We had a meltdown of investment banks like this?
No, but the price of the stock market went down lower.
It went down lower by what percentage, Kurt? Are you sure of that?
Positive. The high was about 1,500 in the S&Ps. It got down to like 700.
All right, so you're a Pollyanna. You think McCain is going to win. I have no idea why he should win. Why should he win?
Well, I'm not saying why he should win. I'm just looking at the numbers. And the numbers show that he's going to win.
Well, let's put aside the debate that we're having for the minute. Do you think McCain showed leadership today, Kurt, by attacking Obama instead of attacking the Wall Street tycoons who did this to the country?
Well, I think Obama's been attacking him, and I think it's important that people know that.
No, you're wrong. You're wrong. I'm sorry. You want to be fair here? They got Sarah Palin to start attacking Obama because they thought that would raise their poll numbers. It didn't do jack. The people don't want to hear this childish garbage anymore. A pit bull said this, a pit bull said that. We don't want to hear this anymore. We want to see the guilty get punished. We want restitution. We don't want this petty game played by these Washington insiders pretending they're outsiders. Thanks for the call. I don't want to get excited. I'm too young to get excited. I have too much life ahead of me to get excited. And I'm not going to get excited. I'm not going to give my life up for this business anymore. I'll tell you right now. You think I'm going to blow a fuse, you're mistaken. No, I'm going to stand here with you as long as I can, and I'm going to talk to the people, and it's going to be truth to power every day on this show. Now, many of you understand that I've been Daniel in the lion's den for 15 straight years. They have reviled me. They made things up about me. They've tried to destroy me. They've tried to ruin my career. They've gone after my advertisers. They've gone after my stations. They make things up about me. But let me tell you something. It hasn't worked yet, and it's not going to work now, and it's not going to work tomorrow. I predict that this show will get stronger as the months go on, because what I am saying to you is 100% what you think in your own mind. What I'm saying is what you don't hear on Fox News. Fox has become the CNN of 5 years ago for many different reasons. They're very, very light on covering what is going on Wall Street for many reasons. So where are you going to turn for what you feel to be the truth? You have very few places to turn. This is one of them. Now let's move on. Let's move on to the callers. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. And again, please, I want to refer you to michaelsavage.com in the midst of all of this turmoil to read the incredible Savage Radio Stories, the Michael Savage autobiography, Psychological Nudity, for one reason, because I'm not reprinting it. That's it. We're way past half of the run, and I know anything about sales. The rest will be gone long before the holidays are over, long before you'll miss a chance to buy a copy of the book. And so if you love me, you love my stories, you love this show, and you want this as an heirloom, buy the first printing, first edition I would suggest, in the next 2 weeks. And that's it. There's nothing more to say to you. It's not going to change my lifestyle if you buy every one of them. And it wouldn't change my lifestyle if you didn't buy one more book. It's for you. I wrote it for you.
Savage.
My friends, I set out on my own campaign for president many months ago. I promised at the beginning to be straight with the American people, knowing that even those who don't agree with me on everything would expect at least that much. I didn't just show up out of nowhere.
I'm glad to be back here in Texas. I miss my friends in Texas. I am, people say you're looking forward to coming home. Yeah, I'm looking forward to living here, but in the meantime, it looks like I'm going to have a lot of work to do between today and when the new president takes office. But Laura and I are glad to be with our friends, and thank you for your time. Thank you all very much.
Gee, isn't that, you know, that's encouraging. George Bush is happily ensconced in Texas, getting ready for a lucrative retirement. He's probably going to give lessons on how to give speeches and on proper syntax around the nation. Daddy Bush got $3 million, I think, in Japan soon after retiring for a wonderful speech before throwing up in China. But then this is nothing new. Ronald Reagan got a $3 million gift from a foreign country soon after retiring. So it's a wonderful business, the presidency. It's wonderful, wonderful business, as I say. The higher up you go, the more you can enjoy yourself. You can go to sleep with pain, but somehow sleep. Now, McCain didn't say anything other than Obama's no good. Why didn't he say what he would do to the CEOs of Wall Street when he becomes president, how he would seize their assets if they committed wrongdoing? At least he could have said it. It doesn't mean he'd have to do it. He could have lied to us. I don't think he even knows what happened today. As I said to you, Duke Cunningham, a war hero, a Vietnam ace, is in prison for 9 years for far less than what has gone on with most of these company CEOs, by these company CEOs. Martha Stewart went to prison for far less, just for lying to some prosecutor. Tyco, WorldCom, Adelphia Cable, these guys all lost everything, went to prison for far less than what these guys did. How come the rules got changed under George Bush, where what put those guys in prison no longer applies? How did that happen? Interesting questions. I don't think we're going to get an answer tonight, do you? San Francisco, come out. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, thanks for inviting me on the air. Dr. Savage, you've been right all along. You said from the very beginning of this year that John McCain is the fall guy for the GOP, and I believe 100% that he is, because he's been making so many mistakes. He's not talking about this bailout that has hurt the American people, and he's not mentioning what people need to hear. Therefore, this is going to give away to a socialist, racist, radical.
Right. Well, that's right. A socialist, racist Obama. A socialist, racist Obama. Make no mistake about it. The people around him are socialists and racists. But I believe John McCain is the fall guy. I think he's set up to lose by the Republican Party, who frankly does not want the management anymore. The way the game is played is 8 years us, then 8 years you. Then 8 years you rail against us, then 8 years we rail against you. The schmucks believe us, there's change coming. Then after 8 years of Obama, I don't think there'll be a chance for the Republicans. I think they'll be out of office for 25 years after this. I think that they're going to disappear from history after this, for permitting this to go on under their watch. I know many of you are going to say, well, you should be going after the Democrats. After all, they're in the majority right now. What more do I need to say? Shall I just say Bonnie Frank and Nancy Pelosi laughing on Friday? Nancy Pelosi's vulturous laugh on Friday told you everything you needed to know. She congratulated herself for pulling off the scam of the century. She got the bailout through with Barney Frank because he was during the days of Orr, O-R-E. Said it was in 10 days of Orr for him and Rahm Emanuel. Really great for the Jewish people, Barney. I got to hand it to you. When do these people become religious? I don't understand this. Guys like Barney Frank. All year long, they take the Ten Commandments down. They attack people who put up the Ten Commandments in courthouses. They call them every name under the sun. Cracker, right-winger, extremist. then all of a sudden, the minute they need something, God is already on there. All of a sudden, he found religion. He went into synagogue, Bonnie Frank, and suddenly the male prostitution ring disappeared. That never happened. He's as frum as a rabbi's wife all of a sudden. I couldn't believe what I was listening to. And Pelosi's laugh? Play Pelosi's laugh, would you please?
Thank you very much, Barney, for your enlightening remarks, your tremendous leadership. And if I may commend your just fabulous staff for their great work on this legislation for the Financial Services Committee.
Citizen Kane laugh. Clap applause.
All of us had to put up with this terrible financial problem. They had to put up with the financial problem and me.
No comment.
Like high school. I haven't heard anything like this since high school. Bad humor. I can't take it. I can't. So believe me, the ick factor is pretty high on the other side of the aisle as well. But you see, I focus only on the Republicans because I've given up on the Democrats. I gave up on them 35 years ago when they took away my birthright or tried to through affirmative action. That's when I walked away from the Democrat Party, when they started to target white boys like me who came from poor families. They figured they could screw us over and throw us over the side of the ship to the sharks. And they did. Millions of men like me were thrown overboard to let people who had no qualifications whatsoever advance, advance, advance. Onward, 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 socialist soldiers. Little did they know that some of us were made of better stuff than that. Some of us, although we were thrown overboard, learned how to swim with the sharks. And while they were not looking, we crawled up on the back of the ship. We crawled up with our hands bleeding and got back up on that ship. And little did they know that we would be their worst nightmare. This is the Savage Nation here for you. San Francisco, thank you again in San Francisco for calling. Dan on line 10, welcome to the program from KNEW. What's on your mind?
Yeah, good afternoon, Michael. I agree with what you're saying, but I think you can't lose track of you can't lose sight of this. I just don't think you can blame Bush for all this. I think we know that they were hot on their trails, and these U.S. attorneys should have prosecuted half of these people.
Whoa, whoa, whoa! Hold on. Who is it who picked the watchdog of Wall Street, Chris Cox? Who handpicked Christopher Cox to be the head of the SEC?
I understand what you're saying, but
no. Just please, let's have a conversation. You say don't blame Bush. Who handpicked Chris Cox, who left Congress to run the SEC? George Bush. What did Chris Cox do? Was he the sheriff of Wall Street, or was he the patsy of Wall Street?
Well, like I said, I understand, but if you lose track, if you lose sight, I can't disagree.
Lose track of what? You say don't blame Bush. Why not blame Bush? While the ship was going down, he was giving away $48 billion to Africa. While the ship was going down and people were screaming, shut the borders, he was saying, drop dead. We need cheap labor for the same people who melted down the country.
Well, I think we have to stick to one subject here.
Let's stick to the subject. George Bush should have been impeached 3 years ago for a false war, a phony war. Contractors were making the money. The men were dying and coming home without legs and arms so that his contractor donors could make a fortune. I don't want to hear this malarkey about Iraq and we freed the Iraqis. If that was the reason, then why aren't we demanding being paid back through oil? They had a $79 billion surplus last year, and we're not asking for a penny of it. Did you ask yourself why your friend George Bush hasn't demanded $79 billion be paid back to the American people since we paid for the liberation? The answer is because he don't want the money. Why doesn't George Bush want payback from the Iraqi people? Why? Why is he so beneficent to the Iraqi people? Who are they to him? I mean, come on, my friend. If you think that there's weapons of mass destruction, where are they? Why are you laughing? The man led us into a war under false pretenses. The man led us into a financial 9/11 under false pretenses. Why must we laugh at this? There are guilty parties on both sides of the aisle, but certainly the buck doesn't stop at Bonnie Frank. Thanks for the call. Florida John, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Michael?
Yes.
Yeah, a month ago when you said that we haven't seen anything yet, you said that Bush is not through yet.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time I said to myself, what more can he do? He's already ruined the country. And I laughed at myself. for thinking that Bush couldn't do anything more and that nothing more.
Well, John, hold on. Are you a Democrat or a Republican? Level with me.
I'm neither. I'm an independent like you are.
All right. Fair enough. I accept that. I don't think you're a plant call. But I'll make another prediction. Bush is not finished yet.
There's more.
I'll make another prediction. You think that this is the end of the meltdown? No, he's not finished yet.
There's only a month to go.
A month to go till the election, but it's not over until December 31, 2008. Remember, he gets to pardon certain people. Remember that? That's at the tail end, like Clinton pardoned various and sundry criminals and drug dealers and whatnot. That's the end of the road. But between now and then, he's still president right after the election. You know that.
Yeah, that's true.
There's no month to go. Oh, no, you could do an awful lot in 2 months. You can write executive orders from now until December 31st. You could change the course of American history, as he has already done.
An idea of what
he actually serves until January 20th, 2009. He has executive powers until January 20th, 2009. He doesn't have a month to go. He has 3 months to go. And he's not through yet, John. He hasn't stopped giving the money away yet. Now, John, I'll tell you what I'm going to do since you're neither Democrat nor Republican. If you can name one story in psychological nudity that you cannot wait to read, I will send you a free copy. Do you have one in mind?
Oh, the monkey. What's his name? Louis.
Oh, you win a free copy of psychological nudity. Stay on the line. You win a free copy of that book. See, the monkey, Louis and the monkey. See, everybody heard something different so far in what I've read. It's getting out there. It's getting out there. San Diego, California. Sylvia, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael Savage. My name is Sylvia. I'm calling from San Diego. I just wanted to let you know that I am a legal resident here from Mexico. I worked very hard to put myself through nursing school, and I am totally appalled at the rape that's taking place against us, the taxpayers. I called my representatives and let them all know that I feel that all these CEOs should be prosecuted. And I just want to let you know that I'm a...
Well, I agree. I mean, you're one of tens of millions of American citizens who feel exactly that way. So you come from a corrupt Mexico, you come to an America, and you find out the Statue of Liberty has been raped. The Statue of Liberty has been raped. She's been disheveled. Her dress has been torn off her body, and she's crying. And guess who raped her? It was not Osama bin Laden, Sylvia. What Osama bin Laden attempted to do on 9/11/2001, the Wall Street gangsters achieved on 9/15/2008. They raped the country. They destroyed the country. They blew it up. They caused more damage to this country than Osama bin Laden dreamed of doing. Are you aware of that?
Absolutely. And I just want to let you know.
And now you find out, we find a chart, a spreadsheet. They hold up today, compensation chart for Lehman Brothers CEO Richard Fuld, as shown in congressional oversight hearings today. Year 2000, base salary $764,000, cash bonus $4.8 million, options $43 million, exercise in dollars made $48 million. That was a piker's year. 2000, this guy only made $48 million. That was a low amount. That was chicken feet. 2001, he made $98 million. 2002, $22 million. He had a bad year, very, very bad year. 2003, things were looking up. Richard Fuld made $43 million. 2004, things went down. He only made $24.9 million. But then in 2005, things looked up. He made $39.5 million. But that was nothing. That was chicken feed compared to what's coming next. After Bush deregulated the markets and permitted them to do anything they wished, raising margins to 30 times zero, suddenly, Richard Fuld in the year 2006 made $106.2 million. Then in 2007, even he had shame. He said, oh, look, you can't do this every year. I tell you what, next year we'll go down a little. Because if we go up from $106 million, someone's liable to say something. We can't believe we got away with this so much. You know what? Drop it down. So he took $45 million. He took a horrible tumble. In 2007, he only made $45 million. And in 2008, the company went bankrupt, and he walked away. And with a total of $484.8 million, according to the government, but according to him, it was only $250 million, and that's it. And march on. 1-800-449-8255. I know this. I watched these hearings today. I couldn't stop watching them. I was calling my producer all morning long. Get this. Get Waxman. Get Higgins. Get Kucinich. Get Fuld. I could not stop calling them. Ask them. because I couldn't believe what I was looking at. Because nothing happened. Although the guy looked like a villain, although the guy talked like a villain, or the guy was the most arrogant villain I've ever seen in my entire... I've seen villains in movies. I've never seen anyone like this. This guy could have a career in Hollywood after all of this is over. Richard Fuld could have a future, a large, rosy future in Hollywood, playing the arch-villain capitalist in the future socialist country under Barack Hussein Obama, when capitalists will all be seen as Richard Folds. And make no mistake about it, this is very bad for any honest businessman. And I know many honest businessmen. In fact, every businessman that I know who's very wealthy made it honestly. But unfortunately, this gives capitalism the name that it has around the world. The Richard Folds of the world are the walking embodiments of everything wrong with pirate capitalism. But will they pay? Not in a light year will they pay one dime. You actually think that after all of the sound and fury, they're going to actually try this man for any kind of crime? I doubt it. I'll be right back.
Savage.
This memo says that Mr. Paul, that you sent to your colleagues, said, we have a huge brand with Treasury. Do you feel at any time in this process that Mr. Paulson misled you?
No, sir, I do not.
And do you feel then, you know, on September 10th, you had a conference call with your investors. During the conference call, your investors were told no new capital would be needed, that Lehman's real estate investment property investments were properly valued. 5 days later, you filed for bankruptcy. Did you mislead your investors? And I remind you, sir, you're under oath.
No, sir. We did not mislead our investors. And to the best of my ability at the time, given the information that I had, we made disclosures that we fully believed were accurate.
All right, let's pause here. I listened to this. Tell your story walking, Fuld. Tell your story walking. If you think you convinced Main Street, you're mistaken. We know you convinced the House of ill repute there that you're appearing before, because we know that you own them like so many pawns in a little fish in a chess game. Quies custodiet ipsos custodes. Pardon my Latin. I may mangle the English, but I know what I'm talking about. And occasionally I will mangle the Latin, but I know what I'm referring to. Quies custodiet ipsos custodes. It's a Latin phrase from the Roman poet Juvenal, which has been translated as who watches the watchman, or who watches the watchers, or who will guard the guards, or who shall watch the watchers themselves. Quies custodiet ipsos custodes. Now, this was first posed in some ways by my dear friend Plato in his Republic, a book I was required to read in high school. Today, they don't read Plato's Republic. They read Obama's future for the communist takeover of the world, or Rebecca has two daddies, or Johnny has two daddies, or Sammy has two mommies, or how global warming is about to bring the sky down upon us, when all along it was Wall Street who was about to make the sky fall, not the melting of the glaciers. In his work on government and morality, Plato wrote The Republic. He wanted to create the perfect society in his book. And so the perfect society, as described by Socrates, the main character of the work, was based upon laborers, slaves, and tradesmen. And then there was the guardian class that was in this perfect society that was created to protect the city. And then someone asked Socrates in Plato's Republic, who will guard the guardians? Or who will protect us against the protectors? And Plato's answer to this is that they will guard themselves against themselves. They will guard themselves against themselves. We must tell the guardians a noble lie. The noble lie will inform them that they are better than those they serve, and is therefore their responsibility to guard and protect those lesser than themselves. We will instill in these guardians a distaste for power or privilege. They will rule because they believe it right, not because they desire it. And I ask you, ladies and gentlemen of the Savage Jury, when you listen to Barney Frank or that laugh, the laugh of the jackal. Quies custodiet ipsos custodes.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Problems are not limited to Wall Street or even Main Street. This is a crisis for the global economy. We live in a world where large independent U.S. investment banks are now extinct, where AIG and Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are under government control, and where major institutions are being rescued.
I've just had a very illuminating conversation with small business owners here. We have a car dealer, an automobile repair shop, a restaurateur, two restaurateurs. And it's clear that these small business owners are dealing with the effects of a credit crunch. And by that, I mean that they're having trouble getting money to be able to continue to either expand their business or to be able to the money to help their consumers be able to buy their products.
I don't need lessons about telling the truth to the American people. And were I ever to need any improvement in that regard, I probably
wouldn't.
All right,
turn it off. Turn it off. We did John McCann already, Tom McCann. So Bush calls it a mere credit crunch. It's cute. It's got a nice ring to it, credit crunch. That's cute. That's cute. The guy who spoke before him, of course, you've been hearing all day, and that's the former CEO of Lehman Brothers, who made $484 million over a number of years and now says he can't sleep at night as a result of it. I couldn't understand why his voice sounded familiar to me, the character. The voice, the Lehman Brothers voice. Now, I'm not making any allegations against him, of course. But Richard Fuld, former CEO of Lehman Brothers, when you actually listen to him speak, it's the Maya Lansky character. It was the Maya Lansky character in his later years in The Godfather, as played by the great acting instructor. Anyone who knows who the acting teacher was who played Maya Lansky wins a free copy of Psychological Nudity. Quick call, 1-800-449-8255. But the question is, who watches the watchers? Qui es custodiet ipsos custodes? Again, please forgive me my mangling of the Latin. I studied botanical Latin for 25 years, and it doesn't mean I can therefore pronounce Latin any more correctly than I pronounce the English language, but I generally know what I'm talking about, both in Latin and in English. Even though my pronunciation may not be that of the King's English, I generally don't screw people with my accent. I generally tell them the truth. The question is, who watches the watchers? Or who watches the watchmen? Or who will guard the guards? And it was raised by Plato in the Republic on the ideal society. And the idea was is that you create a guardian class to protect the city and the people, and that they're told a noble lie, which is that they are better than those they serve, and it's their responsibility to guard and protect those lesser than themselves. And that will instill in them a distaste for power or privilege. And the guardians will rule because they believe it right, not because they desire it. See, that's called a noble lie. But the question is where ultimate power should lie in a society. And our democracy was created in a way to solve the problem using separation of powers, where you never give ultimate power to any one group. You have the legislative, the executive, and the judicial. And they each compete and conflict with each other in the ideal. And then each group then finds it in its interest to impede the functioning of the rest. And this will keep ultimate power under constant struggle and thereby out of any one group's hands. Sounds good, doesn't it? Well, it worked fairly well until more power was accrued in the hands of the executive than the founders ever intended. And we wound up with the imperial presidency, which started under Richard Nixon. The true imperial presidency in modern times probably started long before that. You could argue it started with Franklin Delano Roosevelt. But for those of you who don't know who that is, let us say in more modern times, the imperial presidency really began. The power grab started under Richard Nixon. And it reached a zenith under George Bush. George Bush's imperial presidency best approaches a dictatorship, the closest we've ever had in this country to an absolute dictatorship in history. The problem is along came Nancy Pelosi, who promised the most ethical Congress in history, and it turned out she was more corrupt. They were worse. They were absolutely more bent than the Republicans. They just wanted to dip their beak, so to speak, into the pool of money. That's all they ever wanted. They didn't want any guardians. What are you talking about? I'm putting up on the website, michaelsavage.com, an article, Who Watches the Watchers, from June of 02. Say, why? Why 2002? Enron, WorldCom, the Security Exchange Commission. We're going back to 02. And we're going to find out, when you read this article, that it didn't just start with George Bush. It went all the way back to Mr. Pitt, and I don't mean Brad. Not Brad Pitt, but another Pitt, not related to Brad at all, who was put in charge of the SEC, and he was supposed to be the sheriff. It turns out that the lost credibility of the SEC to the Security and Exchange Commission was not restored under Mr. Pitt. In fact, it turns out the reason it wasn't restored is because he was in fact doing the bidding of the companies he had previously worked for in the accounting world. So this goes back a long time. It's nice to have a separation of powers when the powers are truly separate. But when so much money is being stolen from the public treasury in the form of a war that went on forever that melted down the morality of the nation, in the form of contractors' greed never before seen in the history of the world, and they too, of course, got away with it, it then spread into Wall Street, then to Main Street, where everybody was out for themselves. Up next in the Savage Nation is a wonderful interview I did earlier on another topic. Oh, we have a winner, Earl in San Diego. He's going to win. He said that the actor who played Lansky was Lee Strasberg. Earl, stay in the line. You win psychological nudity. I'll be back.
Savage.
I want to talk about the spirit of America. I was going through my library today, try to clean out mail that I get. And I was about to throw a book out that someone sent me. I get a lot of stuff, crackpot stuff. And one came to me called A Study in End Time Prophecy by Pastor Roger Brown. I was going to toss it out. Not because I thought anything evil of the man, but I didn't have time to read this large 500-page thing here that he sent me. But something just caught my eye about God and prophecy and where we are today. It says, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And they have a picture of the World Trade Center, World Trade Centers before they were knocked down in 1 hour. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. The cargoes, merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones, pearls and fine linen and purple. And he's talking about Babylon. And they are saying that New York was the new Babylon. And, of course, they say that the reader's attention is directed to the correspondence between the 13 provinces of Rome and the 13 European colonies in America. Again, as a man of logic, I can't tell you that I can easily dismiss this. 13 provinces of Rome? What are they talking about? And yet these people greatly support Israel. Half this book is about God's word being exemplified by the rebirth of Israel. We have read earlier how Jerusalem passed from Turkish rule to British control in 1917, and how eventually the flag of the reborn state of Israel appeared. A land is born in a day, Isaiah 66:8. And so God fulfilled his word through the prophets, and the Jews are back in their promised land. Amen. Now, these are people who believe in Jesus Christ. They believe in the Jewish people, and they believe in the Jewish people who practice the Bible, because there's a huge difference between the Jewish people who believe in God and practice the Bible, and those who are of the heritage but not of the practice. In fact, those who are of the heritage and not of the practice are the very people that God warned us against in the Bible itself, according to my view of things, my way of always looking at these things, which is why I do not get along with liberals of any religion at the end of the day. They have no idea what danger they're in. It's not that they're evil people. Most of them are actually nice people. They're very nice people, and they're good to be around. But they have no idea what danger they are in. They have no idea what danger they drag us into with their naivete. They have no idea how their worship for this fraud, Obama, can destroy their very homes that they live in. They have no idea. They have no idea what they're talking about. They have no idea the danger they're in. And it's always the other people who have to save them. It's always the people who do believe in guns, God, and the Bible who have to save those who don't believe in guns, God, and the Bible. Isn't that interesting? It's always those who do believe in guns and God who wind up taking the bullet for those who don't believe in guns and God. But I'm not here to talk about guns and God. I'm here to talk about Wall Street and Main Street, to put it in the terms that everybody's using today. And I'm here to talk about Bible prophecies, because I can guarantee you that if you went to church this Sunday, if you had a preacher worth his salt, he was talking about Bible prophecy and suffer the little children to come unto me, as Jesus had said. Why would they say suffer the little children to come unto me? What do they mean by that? We are the little children. We are the little children who are suffering for those who turned away from God. Today, as you listen to me, another 3,500 innocent American babies are going to be legally euthanized inside their mother's womb. In 35 years, America has butchered millions of innocent babies, exceeding the numbers of people killed in each of the world wars of the 20th century. The liberals say that abortion is not only should be kept legal, but it should be increased. Right up to the late-term abortion. Late-term abortion is infanticide. I can't even go into this. When you see newer studies in science showing that as early as 3 months, there's a little soul inside the mother's womb. It's not just a mechanistic protoplasmic mass. God breathed life and a soul into the mother's womb. And yet we can't even stop the slaughter of the innocent. How can we stop the meltdown of Wall Street? Many see this as punishment. I can't say I do. I can't say I do. But many would say this is punishment for this nation having become a degenerate nation, a degenerate plant. That God gave us this freedom. God gave us this nation. It was taken from the Native American. Make no mistake about it. Great sins were inflicted upon the Native peoples, who then suffered greatly. And here we are. Here we are not even 300 years later. Not even 300 years later. And look at the trouble we're in. Why are we in this trouble? Many reasons. We're all guilty. I don't believe in original sin, but I know we're all guilty. None of us are angels. None of us have a halo, not conservatives, not liberals. Again, I have to go back to why I feel this power in me personally, because no matter how I try to turn away from God, and believe me, I've tried. You know, I have to make a confession to you on this show right now. Einstein in his last years tried to disprove all of the theories of his early years. That's what a great mind and man he was. He created some, he said, maybe my theories were wrong, so I'll tell you what I'm going to try to do. He was so open-minded and so not wed to his own theories that he tried to disprove his own theories, and he wasn't able to do so, which is beyond brilliant. It's something only Einstein could have figured out to do to prove his theories were valid once again. But Einstein was not infallible. Einstein was only a man. Einstein missed an entire development in his own field of physical science that gave birth to the transistor and then gave birth to the computer that has revolutionized the world we are in. So even the great minds of our time are not God. You understand what I just said to you? Even a mind as great as Einstein's, who discovered and pierced the whole concept of what energy is, he was a theoretical physicist. As a result of his theories, we were able to develop the atomic bomb, for example. But he didn't develop the atomic bomb. It was his concept of what energy is made of, what energy consists of. If you get the core of what energy is, you can release that energy. And by releasing the energy, we've unleashed the nuclear bomb, the nuclear bombs that we all fear. So we come back again to the Bible. It's all about the energy, the spirit, and the body. Is your name written in the book of life? The few million people who are Jewish in this country, a very small percentage of them actually believe in God. It is written that God decides whether you shall be written into the book of life. Of course, all of us want to be written into the book of life for the next year. And you say, well, this is a fable for children. You got to behave. If you don't behave, God's going to write you out of the book. How can you believe in such nonsense and worship? And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. This is in the Christian Bible, derived from the Jewish Bible. So it's always about salvation, whether it's Jews believing in salvation being written into the book of life, or Christians believing in salvation through whatever the affiliation may be. And I'm not going to speak for any of the affiliations. That's for you to do with your own pastor or reverend. But there's an opposite to not being written into the book of life. Is America being written into the book of life? Or will the four horsemen of the apocalypse ride out across our land, as has been prophesied and is feared by millions of people around the world? When the four horsemen of the apocalypse ride out across the land, it is said that half of the world's people will die from war, famine, or disease in a seven-year period of time. Many people fear that. World population is billions of people. We have military bases around the world. And yet we're not winning. We fight battles and we don't seem to win when we fight real big armies. So what's going on here? There was a victory in Iraq at great cost. But why are we losing in Afghanistan? Well, that's for the next president to figure out, not for me to figure out. Are we the new Roman Empire? What are we? Why do we have military bases all around the world? Why? Why do we have military bases all around the world? Is this the republic that the founding fathers believed in? Or is this the empire that the Romans believed in? And if it is the latter rather than the former, is that possibly why we see a meltdown on Wall Street, that all the king's horses and all the king's men could not put Wall Street together again? So is the United States in prophecy, from colonies to superpower in 300 years? From colonies to superpower in 300 years, and then what happened? Well, I'll let you figure out what happened. Under the leadership of Vladimir Putin, Russia is starting to become the superpower it once was. While some believe this may be the start of a new Cold War or worse, others feel that Russia may be acting in its own defense. Ted Carpenter with the Cato Institute joins us today to talk about an article he's written for the American Conservative entitled, What Russia Wants. It's controversial. Ted Carpenter, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello, Michael. Thanks very much for having me on your show today.
Well, what do you actually think is going on? Is Russia acting in self-defense?
The article argued that Russia and the United States are drifting toward a new Cold War, and that the United States has misinterpreted a lot of Russian actions and been inconsiderate, insensitive when it came to longstanding Russian interests in Europe. I cited a number of things, including the U.S. policy in the Balkans, going back to the mid-1990s with the NATO intervention in the Bosnian Civil War against the Bosnian Serbs, the Kosovo War in 1999, which detached Kosovo from Serbia and again bypassed Russia's veto power on the UN Security Council, the more recent decision to grant Kosovo independence, the two stages of NATO expansion, which took NATO into the Baltic republics, territories that have been part of the old Soviet Union, and then more recently proposals from Washington to expand NATO to incorporate Ukraine and the Republic of Georgia. And that I felt that Russia's actions in Georgia were at least in part a response to that kind of U.S. policy that Russia regarded as extremely hostile.
Do you think that we're seeing the start of a new Cold War?
I think we're seeing primarily Russia pushing back into against what most members of the Russian political elite, not just Putin, have long regarded as an excessively intrusive U.S.-NATO policy. Russia is recovering from the weakness economically and militarily that it had in the 1990s under Boris Yeltsin. It's now reasserting its sphere of influence. I don't think that necessarily means a full-blown effort to reconstitute the Soviet Union or the old Russian Empire. I suspect that's beyond Moscow's power in any case, even if Russian leaders wanted to do that. But what we have are more limited objectives. Now, that's not pleasant for Russia's small neighbors. And I look for trouble in the future involving the small Baltic republics as well as the Republic of Georgia. But it's not the same thing as the Soviet Union that had very extensive global ambitions, challenged the United States on a global basis, and it's certainly not the same as Nazi Germany or Imperial Japan's expansionist binges in the 1930s and early 1940s. So it's important to place this move by Russia into perspective. It's not pleasant, it's troubling, but it's also not the onset of a major global threat to the United States.
Is the new Russia that is emerging like the strong, ominous Soviets of the 80s, or is it a weaker version as we saw in the 90s?
It's not really either the situation we had during the last decade of the Soviet Union or the extremely weak and demoralized Russia of the 1990s. I think what we're seeing is the reemergence of a normal, if somewhat prickly, great power. Russia has rejoined the ranks of the major powers, but it is still much, much weaker economically and certainly militarily than the United States. And neither Vladimir Putin nor any other rational Russian leader wants to reinstitute a global challenge to America's position in the world. So this is a Russia that has kind of regained its balance from its extraordinarily weak period in the 1990s, but certainly not enjoying the kind of power that the Soviet Union had during the peak of its power and influence in the world.
Well, what do you think Moscow's endgame might be with regard to Georgia?
I suspect that Moscow's ultimate purpose, in addition to carving out portions of Georgia's territory with new client states, with Abkhazia and South Ossetia's independence, I think Moscow wants a friendlier government in Tbilisi. It's clear that Russian officials absolutely hate Mikhail Saakashvili. They regard him as a U.S.-NATO stooge. And they certainly want a more compliant regime in Georgia. Whether they get that or whether they have simply provoked a more intense Georgian nationalism that will strengthen Saakashvili's hand remains to be seen. Georgian opinion seems to be divided on that point. They're angry at the Russians, but they're also, at least some Georgians, rather upset that Saakashvili apparently miscalculated badly and brought the Russian military offensive into their homes.
With Putin being an almost autonomous dictator and Russia reaching out to China, don't you think this is something we need to fear?
Well, certainly domestically, the Putin era has been a huge setback for any hopes of Russian democracy. I mean, it's certainly now a highly authoritarian political system. It's basically like a political mafia running a country. They may have the semblance of democratic forms yet, but there's very little real democracy left in Russia. But that does not necessarily mean that Putin is going to be a reckless aggressor in terms of Russia's conduct internationally. He has reached out to China, but that's nothing terribly new. For example, China has been Russia's largest arms customer for well over a decade and a half. There has been kind of an implicit strategic partnership between Moscow and Beijing for a good many years. That began under Boris Yeltsin, not Vladimir Putin. and I simply see that continuing. In fact, if anything, there may have been some new tensions introduced in the Russian-Chinese relationship, with Russia supporting these secessionist movements in Abkhazia and South Ossetia, because China obviously has some very deep concerns about secessionist movements in Tibet, in Xinjiang province, and what Beijing regards, of course, as a secessionist Taiwan that ought to be under the control of the Chinese government. So Chinese leaders were not at all happy about Russia setting this new precedent of encouraging secessionist movements.
What about Russia helping Iran?
Russia's connections with Iran, I think, are motivated by two factors. One is simply economic. Russia finds Iran a customer that's willing to pay hard cash for a variety of construction projects, including the construction of some of its nuclear installations. The other is that Russia has wanted to reduce U.S. influence in the Middle East generally, an area, again, that has been a region of longstanding Russian concern, and resisting economic sanctions against Iran and developing friendly relations with Tehran is a way Russian leaders see as limiting, if not undermining, America's influence in that part of the world.
Do you think we need to change how we deal with Russia?
I worry about both countries drifting toward a Cold War that neither one probably wants, and both sides really need to back off. The United States policies in the Balkans and on NATO expansion, frankly, I think are brain dead. They are all either incredibly clumsy or deliberately antagonistic, and we definitely need to back off on both of those issues. At the same time, I think we need to have a heart-to-heart with the Russians about some of Moscow's conduct internationally. Instead of just focusing on the authoritarian trends inside Russia itself, we ought to look at Moscow's conduct. I'm not happy with Russia's support for Iran's nuclear program, as much as that might just be motivated by economic factors. And I'm certainly not happy about Russia cozying up to Hugo Chavez in Venezuela and conducting joint air and naval military operations in the Caribbean with Venezuelan forces. I think we ought to make it very clear to Russia that that is unacceptable conduct, that that's a very unfriendly act, and that, contrary to Condoleezza Rice, we do understand that the concept of spheres of influence is very much alive in world affairs in the 21st century. We need to respect Russia's sphere of influence in its immediate neighborhood, and Russia also needs to respect America's sphere of influence in the Western Hemisphere. When, in terms of wanting to avoid a second Cold War, Russia and the United States have a number of common interests that they need to pursue. Everything from dealing with North Korea's nuclear program, which poses a problem for both countries, to financial cooperation. Russia, for example, is one of the larger holders of American government debt. From the standpoint of American interests, I think we'd like to see Russia continuing to be a buyer of that debt, given the extent of our credit problems. We certainly don't want to see Russia standing on the sidelines, much less becoming a seller of debt. In terms of further economic cooperation, Russia would like to get into the World Trade Organization. If Moscow wants that, it needs Washington's support. So there are a lot of areas where it would be beneficial to both sides to cooperate. And if we allow these other disputes to get out of hand and we end up in a full-blown new Cold War, I think both countries will suffer as a result.
Well, Ted, I'm not so sure I agree with you, but thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Thank you very much, Michael, for having me on your show.
Savage.
As we turn into the last waning minutes of the hour here on the Savage Nation, we're moving a new headline up on the program and on my website, michaelsavage.com. My previous headline was that the Lehman CEO made $500 million before bankruptcy. An arrogance, a hostility, a posturing I have never seen in the history of the film industry. Never have I seen an organized criminal grilled by a House subcommittee with more arrogance than I saw today projected by Richard Fuld, who thinks he's better. I have never seen such chutzpah, as they say in certain districts of New York, as I saw today. Will anything occur? Will a dime be taken from Mr. Fuld? You know that the fix is in. You know that despite the loud talk from Henry Waxman and Dennis Kucinich, that Mr. Fuld was 25,000 times smarter than them, and he seated both sides of the aisle for so long with Lehman money that none of them are going to touch him. No, they save their touching for you and I. Now, I've changed the headline to a new story that came out that's going to make your jaw drop. Bonnie Frank, as you well know, should be in handcuffs. Bonnie Frank should be in prison. Bonnie Frank is a criminal, in my estimation, for having forced the banks to make loans to unqualified minorities. Today, Bonnie Frank, who was under attack in his own liberal district in Massachusetts, being attacked in his own liberal district for having forced a $700 billion Wall Street bailout plan down the throats of the American people. This rotten thing, this creature from the Black Lagoon, Bonnie Frank, who suddenly found religion last week, calling it the days of ore, O-R-E, of course. It is the days of ore, not the days of ore for him. In his own district, independents are running against him. In his own liberal district, the people want to throw him out. Do you know what Bonnie Frank said hours ago? He said the GOP housing attacks are racially motivated. That's right. Bonnie Frank had the nerve to say that Republican criticism of Democrats over the nation's housing crisis and subprime meltdown is a veiled attack on the poor that's racially motivated. He said, they get to take these things out on poor people, Frank said at a mortgage foreclosure symposium in Boston. Let's be honest. The fact that some of the poor people are black doesn't hurt them either from their standpoint. This is an effort, I believe, to appeal to the kind of anger in people, said Bonnie Frank, who grew up on number two Corks. I can only be comedic in the political arena for a certain period of time, and I can no longer be comedic in the political arena. This is the time for direct action. Bonnie Frank should be in prison for what he did to this country. Bonnie Frank also dismissed charges that the Democrats failed on their own or blocked Republican efforts to rein in the mortgage companies Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. He's a liar. In fact, most of the people on Fannie and Freddie are Democrats, who should also be investigated by Congress, but you know why they won't be. So there's nothing more I can say. Bonnie Frank is a longtime congressman. He's being challenged this fall in his district in Boston by both Republican and independent candidates. But he's being criticized, note, in his own liberal district for being one of the principals to win approval of a $700 billion Wall Street bailout plan. But what's even more disturbing and more audacious was what Bonnie Frank and Nancy Pelosi and Rahm Emanuel said last week while they were forcing this giveaway of the American tax money to these crooks on Wall Street. I want you to play that clip again in case anyone's forgotten it. Please find it.
Thank you very much, Barney, for your enlightening remarks, your tremendous leadership. And if I may commend your just fabulous staff for their great work on this legislation for the Financial Services Committee and mine as well.
All of us had to put up with this terrible financial problem. They had to put up with the financial problem and me.
No comment.
Is that funny to any of you? Let's stop for a minute. Is any of what Bonnie Frank just said brilliant? Is it enlightening? Is it appropriate for having robbed the taxpayers of $700 billion? Is Nancy Pelosi's laughter authentic? Is it appropriate? Is any of it humorous? I feel like I'm watching a shadow play from high school of stupid children who run for the GOP. children who don't know any better, who run for whatever they called it in high school. I forgot already what they called it. The kids who wanted to be in politics, the kids who couldn't even get jobs in ice cream parlors wanted to go into politics. But now it gets even uglier as Bonnie Frank then makes reference to Judaism and to the religious holidays that true religious Jews are observing in these 10 days. Listen to this now. Still looking for it. It's in the same clip. So rerun. You have to run it from the beginning. I guess you don't have a rewind machine at the TRN headquarters. Well, run what you have. Let's go with whatever you have.
And I really feel a great sense of responsibility for Rahm and for me and for many others. These are the days of awe. The days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur for Jewish people, they are the days of awe, A-W-E. And we have a task.
I turn him off because I really want to smash something right now. Bonnie Frank, who ran a male house of prostitution in his apartment in Washington a number of years ago, has the nerve to bring Jews into this. At a time like this, when anti-Semitism is running wild in the streets of America because Jews are being blamed for this on Wall Street, this rotten, corrupt pig, this totally corrupt, degenerate pig has the nerve to bring up Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. All of a sudden, he discovered religion. Him and Rahm Emanuel are suddenly yeshiva boys. Look, things are going to get worse before they get better. I can guarantee you things are going to get a lot worse before they get a lot better. And all I can say is, Bonnie Frank, shut your dirty, perverted mouth and don't you dare drag Jews or Judaism or God into your dirty, filthy work. Bonnie Frank, shut your mouth and don't ever drag Jews into this again if you know what's good for you. Shut your perverted mouth, Bonnie. You make me sick for you to drag Jews and Rosh Hashanah into your dirty, filthy work on behalf of the thieves of Wall Street. And that's all I have to say tonight on the Savage Nation. Lehman CEO made $500 million before bankruptcy, according to the congressional hearings. And Bonnie Frank says that the GOP housing attacks are racially motivated. If you think this is bad, you're right. But it's not as bad as it's going to get. It's going to get uglier, and it's going to get worse, and it's going to get there fast. This is the Savage Nation. Thanks for being here.
Savage.